Daddy, we live in the dream, captain in the field. I am a drink like Champions League. Every 25, it's even the only feed. Man, I'm about to be rolled like a Ferrari. We got a bunch, this is the love of the tweet. Create my own leagues, so off we compete.
Although here's Canapri, he's on a hat-trick and he's in.
This is Corner Flag Talk.
Another episode on Corner Flag Talk podcast. It's your boy John. We're here as always to talk about the latest in football. We want to say that we really appreciate you guys. If you guys can this week, share the pod with somebody. We really appreciate it. We are doing stuff behind the scenes to reach out to other content creators, some that you are definitely a lot more familiar with, especially if you're really active on Twitter and stuff like that. And they should be coming on the pod in the very near future, and we are really excited about those things. Until then, you continue to have us provide very well-rounded analysis, no banter involved, no bias or anything like that. And because last week we didn't get one United party show, this week we double up. So before I get to them, I have Virgil here as always. Uzi, how's it good, my guy?
I have no idea. As I say, you know, they wanted a United fan, so you know, we bring two. And then after, you know, they want to say we only record when United lose, but they draw this time, so we can't help it. So that, then as they know, that's not our fault.
Are they hearing me?
Right, now we have it.
Oh, I don't know about that. Nikhil, what's good, my guy?
Right, cool. I just did.
We have Aidan. Aidan, what's good?
I good. Other than some choice words from Anthony Taylor and Andrew Mariner.
Yeah, man.
I cool.
I think we should actually start there more than anywhere else because, look, I was telling Nikhil before we come on, though, I, like anybody else who's not a United supporter, does enjoy Rams and them, though. But, dog, today was atrocious referee. And it just was the icing on the cake of another weekend where we saw horrible calls across the Premier League. For once, I felt like my side wasn't actually involved in those. But it wasn't just the red card, which we'll come to. It was the penalty shouts. It was the lack of cards for the opposition players. The man literally had a howler today on top of, again, what was a weekend of poor refereeing decisions. We saw it in the Wolves-Newcastle game. We saw it in the Chelsea game. It kind of has been going on, and it has been going on throughout the season. And the thing is, Brandon told me this a while ago, and I will echo the sentiment for as long as we need to, is that we can't care about referee decisions only when it is our side involved. If we truly do want for the officiating standard of the league to be at the highest possible point that it can be, we need to pick up on the errors of these personnel all the time, regardless of how it's for the crew or somebody else's team that's supporting. Though beyond all the banter, if we really do want a high-level officiating, we had a holy bar higher than that. So, that being said, Aidan, what was your thoughts on the game, the officiating, all of the above?
A draw would have been fair based on like the flow of the game, given the fact that it was 11-10. But I mean, I can't help but feel aggrieved because of two of the decisions that were questionable, including the red card, of course. I think you could argue both ways. You could argue for, like why you would give it, but you could also argue that he got the ball first and his foot rolled on the ball. I mean, at that point, I don't think he could have pulled out, you know, as more as he did. So it's unfortunate, I think, in that regard. But yeah. I mean, the penalty after that was stonewall, and the position of the referee, like he was literally in front. He played no other bodies in front of him, so he had an unimpeded look at the situation. So, I mean, and the whole point of VAR, if VAR could go now and overturn the yellow for Casemiro, turn it into a red, you can't see a that as a clear and obvious error to bring the referee. So that means two people get it wrong. It's not only Anthony Taylor, it's also the VAR official, who probably would have told him, nah, you don't have to bother and check this one. There's not a penalty. Play on. So that for me spoiled the game. United were then more or less on the back foot. We still had some good chances, and a draw was a fair result given the red card and the situation. But unbeaten at home, still in 20-plus games, may not be a major result in the wider scheme of things once, you know, we get some positive going forward. But that remains to be seen. So I'll take the draw today based on the circumstances.
Yeah, that's fair. Nikhil, around any major refereeing decisions you saw today, right? You can give me like a little rundown of what you thought he get right, he get wrong, that kind of thing.
Well, you get the start of the game right, like he started at 0 minutes. Yeah, top 90 is actually. Yeah, I mean, he did what he had to do. Other than that, yeah, hold on. Well, my problem with the refereeing is not because, you know, I've spoken to you about this before. I probably am one of the most, like, I would allow a lot of things in a football game. Like, things that most people consider false, I would allow it. Right? My main thing is the inconsistency in what they allow and what they don't allow. For example, yesterday, Ricardo Pereira basically shinned down João Felix. No card, no check, nothing. Casemiro actually went into a tackle. Get the ball. Ball, his foot roll up the ball and tackle that one. Red card.
Now,
my only thing is, even if I don't believe it's a red card, it's either both are reds or neither are fouls at all. Because they can't have it both ways. And that's my main problem. The inconsistency in how they judge calls. Same thing with the handball in this game. That's a handball. Yesterday, there was a penalty in the Liverpool-Bournemouth game for pretty much the same thing, blocking that. Clear goal current opportunity. Handball. No. Because it's United. Nah, I ain't going on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a consistent call. It's a consistent call. They need to get better at that. I hate refereeing these days. How they refereeing games, I totally dislike it.
Yeah, hey, I feel that, you know. And look, the thing is, that is where I share my sentiment as well, you know. It's like, look, if this is where we leave any bar to be, whether or not I agree with it, which in a lot of cases, most, you won't get all the fans agreeing it, right? But what they could find peace in is that if this is where we leave any bar, then we keep that bar throughout. And it's one thing if the on-field referee, the speed of the game, doesn't get it, these guys in the booth have chances to review it, to maintain that bar throughout. And that is where going missing now, and men get vexed, and rightly so. Dog, I mean, so real, dog. I wasn't watching. Like, I'll tell you, look, I would actually watch two games at the same time, but it can't be one of them is Arsenal. I just need to zone in and watch my side, right? So I wasn't watching the United game, and then a message in the group said, dog, red card, tick. And I ready to laugh, dog. I was like, so, all I can send my video on the follow so I can see it. And when I said it, I was like, dog, I not even a foul. How it is, you give my man a red card for not a foul. That is egregious in the highest sense, dog. We're even funnier now, is that? I mean, Casemiro last three games is red card, seven is red card, dog. But, departed, dog. In terms of games that he's going to miss, one of them will be in the cup this weekend. And then he missing the
Newcastle is one of them.
Newcastle. And I had screenshot them. Alright, he missing the trip to Newcastle, which is after the international break, the visit of Everton, and the trip to Nottingham Forest. So, two of them is not so bad that you would think they could get
it. Isn't it? Isn't it four games?
It is
four. Yeah, well, including the Fulham, the cup game.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, boy.
But, like, aside from the referee decisions, right, guys, today, and any of y'all can answer this, it doesn't really matter. We saw something a little different from Ten Hag today, right? We saw him start a midfield that composed of. Y'all hear me? Call it kind of pause.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for sure.
he started a midfield that consisted of Casemiro, Jadon Sancho, Bruno Fernandes. Something that feels a lot more different than what we have typically seen under him. Do you guys feel like this is part of like the next stage of evolution or something? He's trying a way to get both Rashford and Sancho in the team at the same time and Anthony without necessarily moving Rashford or Anthony from the natural positions. What was your thoughts about that little tactical change that he tried there?
For me, I think my personal opinion is that he is trying to keep Weghorst in the team because of what he brings. And the only way he was able to do that is to basically play Bruno like how he was playing Eriksen at the start of the season. Mm. Bring him further back so that Weghorst could actually stay in him. Because I like Weghorst. I honestly like Weghorst. I like what he brings to the team. And I feel like the stuff he does on the pitch, even though he doesn't score goals, he's not clearly isn't prolific in the Premier League at least. He brings out a lot to that team that trying to press high, a team not trying to press hard, a team not trying to trap and like trap fullbacks and stuff like that. But I don't personally think that's going to be a long term thing. I genuinely just think like, okay, after 7-0, we got to put this right. How are we going to put this right? We're going to put as much attackers on the field as possible. That's genuinely what I think he tried to do.
Cool. In terms of like how it actually went about happening on the field though, Aiden. Do you think that it worked? Do you think that there's, even though obviously, okay, they didn't win, right? But do you feel like they created more chances, more opportunities, that this is something we could see again going forward?
Yeah, it's hard to judge from this one, given the fact that we was a man down. So, you know, a lot of the second half, we had to compensate, or at least not have the ball as much compared to the first, compared to before the red card. So it's a little hard to judge the system. Sancho is a fluid system. Sancho could start center. He did end up wide a few times. So too Anthony and so forth. So I like the idea of it because it allows more creative players into the game. So a lot more chances for the over the top ball, which is apparently that's like a favorite ball we're using now, the Bruno to Rashford. So I think it adds an extra dimension to our attack. But the flip side is now you're leaving Casemiro as the lone sweeper then, and even he pushes a bit. So it could work against the teams that we deem have a weaker midfield than us, or a team that we expected to dominate the ball with, like today, going into this game. But I don't think it's a solution for the bigger games just yet. I don't think we are that level just yet to play so much attackers against the bigger teams.
I want us to take United on a more macro level, but before that, Virgil, you have anything you want to add to the conversation that's constructive and positive?
Just good. I mean, obviously, you know, as a man, when shy with an opportunity to, you know, talk down on United, but from what you said earlier about the referee decisions, I just say that's something that you had to crack down on early, because you look at a game like this and looking at the upcoming fixtures, you would say, in the grand scheme of things, they're not really going to affect United that much, honestly. But at this point, whether it be a team fighting for the title, a team fighting for fourth, a team fighting for a mid-table team relegation, all these things going to have a domino effect. It's going to affect them in even any slightest way. It's going to affect them in a very negative way. So it's very confusing that VAR introduced now into football to actually like crack down on the whole human error. But that and all still have its error, where it's not cracking down on human error, it just created two human errors now. So it just confusing us to see what conclusion, like what conclusion that could come out of this, what solution to they could
It added an extra problematic layer to the game, I think.
It really is.
Yeah. Two human errors.
Especially the application it, because that's the problem.
Yeah,
I saw somebody describe it as like, we've all had like grandparents, right? That like first time they get a smartphone, though, they don't know how to use it, right? But they before that could I write a letter real good to send to somebody, you know, right? As like an extreme example, we have referees now who just spent 40 years or however long it is of Manuel Anthony Taylor and them in this walk. Probably too long if you ask me. But they spent all these years not using it now, or not how it adapted their game to it. And they would be using the experiences they had of coaching football however long ago, where the rules was a little different and would want to, I don't know, try and play on certain things or whatever it is. But they weren't necessarily trained to do this. And they would try to use that as like an olive branch to extend to referees as to explaining why they're so terrible. By being so real,
when, I can't have that, bro.
I can't have that. And the reason I was going to say that is like all of us work, right? Or have worked at some point in our lives, right? When it is that the company or the business is moving forward, dog, if you can't move forward with it, they replace you. You don't get to hang around and be like, it's okay, bro, you'll get it right next time. That is just not how it goes, right? On a more macro level, though, guys. So, you all was here when we talked last week, right? 7-0, it happened. You move on. It's just 3 points lost at the end of the day, right? How do you all feel about United season now in a little bit more context then? You all strongly won. That should be added. You all strongly won the first leg of all your Europa League tie. And on one side that was the loss, the other side that was a draw against Palace that I don't really think Ole feel worried necessarily. I mean, again, Ole can't get to top now. How Ole feel about top four or whatever. So where does that leave you all thinking about maybe the Ten Hag project isn't, while it has gone very well, and I do agree with that, if it hasn't gone as far ahead as some people might have thought, have been inside the conversation, or it's just an extraordinarily bad day at the office where a Liverpool side that we will much to go on to the very next, it's had a good day. Yeah, anyone all there, man? Go ahead.
Before I just want to throw in another thing to what you're saying there, John. Like other factor too that people have to remember for this United loss. People forget how difficult Anfield is, you know. People forget when you hear a team losing at Anfield. People forget how big a factor that is right now, because how much times you hear an ex players talking about stepping into Anfield, like stepping into like hell, right? They're saying that that's literally stepping into something worse than hell for players, and especially a United team right now, and the way that Liverpool season was going. So I feel like after a week, when you look back on it, those are some things you really have to take into consideration.
I agree.
The atmosphere is one. They lost once, I think, in the league at home this season, and losing at home is not a general thing for them. Lying if I say I wasn't confident we could have gotten some sort of a result from that game, given the form of both teams. But they were extremely clinical on the day, like 7 goals, 8 shots on target, 7 goals. That's is your day, you know? For me it's an anomaly. However, it will be a point of banter going forward for years to come that you can't avoid that. United will still give Arsenal fans horrors about the 8-2 come back in the City, beat United 6 on like two occasions already. So it's happened. It will be a point of banter going forward, and I would admit that. But in the grander scheme of things, I do think it would be, you know, that bad of a result if you're looking at it in a general context. With regards to success for the season, I am happy with the project so far. It shows that, you know, some more investment is needed, although he did spend quite a bit, but some more investment is needed. However, I could say with some sort of positivity that we have a man that deserved to get his money to buy players with to improve the squad, because you could actually see some sort of positive football going forward. Not the final product, because I think he wants to play with more possession, especially against the bigger teams. But gets in there. And individually, I've also seen a lot of players improve under him. So I definitely give him more than passing marks thus far.
Yeah, but for me personally, You know, I didn't really get too high or too low on how United play, because my goal for this season, honestly, was just to be better. Just to be better than how he was last year, because last year was terrible. So, for me, any improvement on that would have been fine. I personally think we much further ahead than I thought we genuinely would have been. Like forget the full Premier League shouts. To me, I thought we have been fighting like borderline top four. For us to actually be, we was fighting for second at that point in time and be where we were. I feel that's really good. With respect to the 7-0, to me that just a bad day at the office, in the sense of that don't happen often, especially when you consider it wasn't like a full bad game. It literally was a bad half. It was 1-0 going into the game and was very much into the game. And after like, let's say 2-0, heads went. And concede 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wow. Just saying that is crazy. But conceding 6.5 is unacceptable. But I know my bowling manager will put that right. So I am not worried, because I know it's going to be better going forward. So on a macro scale, I feel like United are in a good place. They are a very good place, considering where we were last season, because bye. That was heights.
If somebody was to tell Ole that since the World Cup, y'all have faced 3 of the top 10 teams in the league, and of those 3, you've lost 2, and the 1 win was against City, where at the very least there was controversy, does that make y'all think of anything like going forward for the rest of the season? Because y'all would then obviously have to play a bunch of them now between now and the end of the season. And there's 5 points, I think, between y'all and Spurs.
Tottenham.
Oh, no, two points, I think, between y'all and Spurs. And Brighton, who have 2 games in hand. If they were to win those, like, just entertainment, for argument's sake, they would be 5 points behind y'all. So, do y'all feel worried about the top 4 position at all? Or, nah, all the good, all the safe?
It would be hard to say that they are good and it's fully comfortable, because the season still have quite a bit to go. However, we have given ourselves a bit of a gap. But I think we have 2 more of the top 6 teams to play, I believe. And then after that, we have a lot of home games that should be winnable. I think we're in a comfortable position. The other teams right now playing catch up, you know. Spurs, they all have also been very inconsistent. And
yeah,
Newcastle, again, their form has dipped recently too. Brighton on a charge right now, but I don't know if they could sustain it. So I still think we're in the best position out of those teams to come top 3 or even top 4. So I'm not too worried. The red card, I mean, is a problem for the next few games, but we made it the last period. He was suspended for the 3 games. We got 2 wins and a draw or something in that 3. So, not to say it hasn't happened before. We just need Sabitzer back, though.
Mm-hmm.
ASAP.
Yeah, that's fair. Nikhil, you were saying there before we bring up Liverpool?
We're just saying points in hand all is better than games in hand. So, I mean, we are ahead of them. I just hope that we could sustain playing well. Like I tell you, if we make top 4, great. If we don't make top 4, yes, it will be like a choke. But to me, I've seen the grand scheme. I'm seeing the Premier League. I just don't know when it will come.
God.
I just ain't sure when. I ain't gonna put my head on a block and say any time frame, but I could see it, because just the way how we play, just the mentality, I feel like it, because majority of the same players that we have, and the vast difference in how we react when we concede last season to how we played this season, to me, is that's a key thing. Like, the mentality is there of a team that is actually improving. They want to come back in games. They want to play better. The stuff like that, I feel like the intangibles matter. So, like I say, I seen us getting better, and it will come in time, man. In a few years, you see where you was, John, watching from the top of the league, watching everybody, like, you know, his peons, I'll be there. I mean, they're very shortly.
Well, I mean, if you say so.
My dream selling on the same way.
Virgil, when you're 5 points closer to the red up, then you can talk to me. Please don't talk on the side. That being said, Liverpool lost 1-0, and I think it is an apt transition to go from United to Liverpool, because obviously after the 7-0 there was some hype, and I don't think that some of it is warranted, because outside of the Real game, which you can logically, while being illogically, write off to the fact that it is just Real Madrid and it is the UCLites, so it just is what it is sometimes. You could then put that into this perspective of that would have been 5 games in a row that Liverpool have not conceded. That was, at that point, 4 games in a row of wins. And in that time span, they've scored 13 goals across 5 games. You know, that shows, at least on paper, a run of form beginning to build. Then they're going to lose 1-0 to Bournemouth. That, and a few teams this season have been made to sit up and realize that it is not an easy side, right? I actually have found, and I didn't want to say it last week, because it's not like I always say it because they play my side. There are actually some players in this Bournemouth team that if they do go down, dog, I think they are decent buys, though, for some mid-table and upper mid-table clubs. You know? Like, aside from the fact that Billing scored this week, I actually find that man is playing real good. He's made some real nice runs to split the centre-backs and the full-backs. He's received the ball really well, some nice touches, some good transitional play. I think he might have a thing. But reality is, with all due respect to maybe a one Bournemouth fan who might listen to this, we're not really here to talk about that. To talk about the fact that Liverpool even given an olive branch by a handball call that in other games over the last 2 weeks we didn't see call. I guess saying Bournemouth self, their man was learning to play volleyball mid-game and them never call a single pen for we. Then now United here today had a man trying to do the pass on the ground and still didn't get a pen call. So they get the olive branch, the first one they get for the season, that's the first pen they get whole season. Salah miss it, called out to lose the game 1-0. Virgil, since you're really getting to talk yet so far, dog. Yeah, any thoughts on the game and how you're feeling about Liverpool and a possible fight to finish top four?
No, honestly, football really is a storyline, you know. Sometimes it has some drama to it. Sometimes it's like a comedy story. Because if you're looking from this Liverpool perspective, they win 7-0. They win 7-0 last time. They come out and lost to the team that in relegation. But for Liverpool, I actually had a conversation with a Liverpool fan after the 7-0. He literally said that how from the performance of the United game, he would not be surprised if things go back to how it was the next game, which is the Bournemouth game. So said, so done. Because from the United game, you know, obviously it have you know, its significance behind that. And then come out to this game that they needed to actually, like, you know, capitalize on stuff like this happen. So for Liverpool, this just really just sums up their season. They have those high moments, and then after in another 90 minutes, things could just go a whole different direction. That would just worry some fans. But Liverpool, I feel like for Liverpool fans, they understand like how their season is going right now. I don't really feel a lot of them going to take that much. They're not going to be too disheartened from this result, because they know regardless from that big margin, that big win, next season they need to do some significant improvements. And all this is just really going to highlight that. That's really going to highlight that from them. They also know that they had the injuries that they'll deal up with, so it kind of take the losses and some of the wins can't take with a little grain of salt. So they just looking at the positives right now. So I really feel like you cannot really dig too deep from this game and say anything too negative from Liverpool, because if we just going back for a week before that United win, this honestly just seems like is a routine how Liverpool season going, honestly.
I find it real funny, but you can't say nothing negative, because I feel like we are too many here to say anything negative, dog. Aaron, what's your thoughts, bro?
Liverpool stunk. Oh, damn. Oh, nah, I was just... You want to see it, sir? He tweeted. He called it on himself. I know he was being... He was kicking, but it's just funny that it happened. And that kind of sum up their season. Not to say Bournemouth is a walkover team. I mean, their league position would suggest that, but a lot of the results are tight ones. But at least recently, I've seen them put in some good performances, even against Arsenal. So, it just that seemed like it wasn't Liverpool's day, especially given the fact that Salah missed a penalty. That's not like, I think I see him miss one penalty before. I don't know if he missed more than that. You know? So, it just wasn't their day. But it just also goes to their season that 7-0 could have just propelled them going forward. They win on the weekend, get, you know, two wins going into the Real Madrid game. But now they're going into that Madrid game coming off a loss to Bournemouth. So I don't know how that would affect them. And, I mean, if they overturn that result against Madrid, it's highly unlikely that they do. So if they fail to do that, then that's kind of their season there. Yeah. All they have to do now is try and make top four, which even harder now, given the fact that Spurs and Brighton and possibly Newcastle, I think, ahead of them. With the games in hand situation and so forth. So yeah, well done to them for the result last week, but I mean, going forward,
Tell them something, dog.
Mango say I bit her. Mango say I duck in last week, but no, I like to rate Konate and Virgil.
That Aidan was trying to better the country last week, and he had committed that beforehand, so that is why he was not there.
I get the results. I watch up to the first half, thankfully, and then the second half, the data was giving trouble. He reached the lighthouse by Toko there. The lighthouse by Toko, dog, and one of my brethren, his data ended up connecting first, and he was like, hey, what's your score? I said, 7. I said, all right, take that off one time. good thing I told John I couldn't make, but anyways, regardless, Liverpool FC, I don't think they're back. I think they still have a lot of problems. That midfield not going anywhere. You can't rely so much on Harvey Elliott and Baji Rice, whatever the man name is, but
Baji Rice.
Your manager need to stop buying 6 forward and focus on spending the money wisely. And I don't think Bellingham coming because they're tweaking for him hard. But really? Enjoy your trophy, your Beach United trophy.
Hey, thank you. That's all I wanted.
I love how you don't start off like real compose or thing. John Wiley, when he's like, nah.
I couldn't. Man, tell me to pack this, boy.
Yeah, look, I just wanted to... No, I tell you, last week was making no sense. Last week, Chelsea and City win. And I'm getting raps in it, dog. City win. And I tell the man, they have no bottle in it. Yes, I have no stomach. None. Them mean men took one pay the FA to get them cheap penalty away to Crystal Palace because they are not them. But we'll get to that just now.
That boy.
Kisan, you have anything else you want? Yeah, anything you want to say, Liverpool?
Bro, Liverpool, like I said after the Bournemouth game, after the United game, like I was just thinking about it, like Liverpool gonna lose the next game, right? So said so done because it just shows like big games form don't matter for big games. Big games are happen only the form really doesn't matter and they beat us soundly. But if you go on the trajectory season, you just revert back to where it's normally do for other games and so said so done. With respect to the, to me, I feel one of the major problems Liverpool have is that Bobby and Mane are not, I mean, Gakpo and Nunes are not Mane and Firmino. Like, the ability they show in pressing from the front and stuff like that, basically keeping teams in their half, Gakpo and Nunes don't have that ability. So it's easy to walk through them. Then you're going to meet up at either inexperienced or out of form old midfield in Fabinho, Milner, Henderson, or Badji Rice and Harvey Elliott, which most teams, any experienced team, is find it very easy to bypass. And Liverpool play a very high line. Yeah. So,
no, the thing is,
it's very easy to go in behind them and score goals, which I find is their main problem.
Because before the goal score against Bournemouth, dog, Bournemouth had like two or three times where they were super unlucky to get called offside. I think, you know, they were so close to going ahead and scored. And, okay, moving ahead, because we need to pick this up a little bit. Chelsea won, guys, 3-1. Who knew Chelsea knew it where it was to win three games in a row? I would just like to say I am the grandmaster genius of all time, though, because I bust my wild card this week. And who would have guessed was the two Chelsea men I ever gave, dog? Benchley Chilwell and Kai Havertz, dog. Of all men, dog. Hey, genius, dog.
Who, dog, Kai wouldn't even bring himself in his own team, dog, because first he don't believe in himself, dog.
I've been real. If it wasn't for that Dortmund game, I wouldn't bring him in. Because when I see he was on pens, I was like, all right, cool. We got to try something.
And then Reese with the other one and Reese injured, yeah.
That man should get assists, but Modric is not him. Because I've been real. If he had confidence in himself, he take that on his chest and shoot it. Don't tell me I lie. If he was confident in his own ability,
he'd
take that and shoot. That man panic and do the worst header back of all time, but they produce a great finish from Kovacic. So,
man, Doc, you got blow 7, dog.
What is 0-1-16? I didn't even know it was 0-16 now, but I know there's more points than that person behind my side.
Correct.
That means
it. Wow. Look at which tree is it?
Brandon gets in trees.
Chelsea, 1 point, guys. To be fair, boys, I did watch the Dortmund game and I did watch their game against Leicester. I do think that they are actually playing pretty good. I think that the football is actually improving. I don't think it is a coincidence it is improving while Mason Mount is on the side. And while I do like Mason Mount a lot, I just think that these players that are playing together kind of just suit getting most of each other a lot more. You know, I think that the three at the back is just where the team is right now. I think Ben Chilwell is one of the best, if probably not the best himself, left wing back in the league, especially when he's on form. I think he just knows how to attack the opposition box a lot better than most nominal left backs, right? I think Kai Havertz has always looked better in a front three that was supported by a back three where there's wing backs overlapping and stuff like that. And I think it's unlucky that Raheem had a little knock, because I thought he was really good against Dortmund. Outside of missing a few chances, which I guess has always been Raheem's career. But the movement is sublime, is world class. So you can't teach that kind of movement and that kind of penetration and stuff. So what we're saying is the ceiling for Chelsea right now, guys. Europa Conference League. Is it better to finish 7th than go to Europa Conference League or finish 10th? What are we thinking? What do you see for Chelsea? Uzi?
For them, I feel best they hope to hold on to that 10th, because that Conference League will be a waste of time for them, honestly. But I say, looking from the Dortmund game, you saw from the Dortmund game, you saw signs that, you know, Chelsea was improving. And Chelsea has always been Chelsea. I ain't going to sit down here and say that this Chelsea side find some secret to look so good right now. Chelsea always has them. Chelsea just a very unlucky team with unlucky players up front that just went in front goal. They just forget how to be footballers. Chelsea is probably the best place for footballers. They could just be on top there, again, paid to do nothing and just play week in, week out. You put Kai in front, you had to give him two chances to get a goal against Dortmund, but the main thing is that he get a goal. But for Chelsea have options in front, honestly. Chelsea have options when it comes to the attack, so, you know, Potter could have switched around that side anyway. He could have gotten anybody to fall in there if they was able to find the net, find a little bit of form. We all would have stood on here and say, Potter get right. Chelsea at this point, they just basically throwing anything at this target and hope something stick. And right now, Kai basically, I want to go so far and say Kai basically finding his feet. Kai put the ball back in that. That's what he has to do.
This is the Kai cycle. That around February, March, April, he just had to score goals right before the transfer window opened. So bad, this thing not to replace.
But that's true. No, Chelsea's season has always been very questionable. It's have the fans will be so frustrated and coming on to the latter stages of the season where they need something. Yeah. They go and start playing some football. They go and start getting some results. It be going to see them winning in some very ugly ways. And they might end up in a little Europa League. We don't understand. We're not too sure yet. But that's honestly the whole Chelsea season is go. Chelsea.
Yeah. I think they would make a good run in the Champions League, you know.
Because, exactly.
Yeah, I think they would run. They would make a deep run. We'll see who they get next year. But I have a strange feeling they will end up deep this year.
I can see that.
That's how Chelsea season is. That's how Chelsea season is.
And I don't really find the Champions League that great this year, though. It feels very mid. And it really is
the big teams not playing like super football.
And then the teams that are playing good, just not in the UCL, though. You know? Union Berlin and Bayer Leverkusen. So the more informed sides of Germany, they're not there. Arsenal and United, they're not there. But Barcelona, their own fault, they're not there. So I really had a much excuse for them. It's them fault, them not there anymore, right? Stop being mid.
Roma.
Yeah, Roma are there. Hopefully they'll be there next season though. This is a real serious question, guys. Let me see. Use a top player. Let me say like who's somebody that, let me say Declan Rice, right? Like just as an example, right though. And you want to go to a big side, right though? Would you rather go to, let me say Liverpool finish, like forget everything else. We just talk about what on offer, right? Liverpool who finished 7th at the Europa Conference League or Chelsea 10th. You rather play no European football or play that as your version of European football? We rather.
To me, if I'm Declan, I agree with you, that make more sense to me. And that team is not Chelsea. Because, like, so I don't know how all they feel about Chelsea. I feel Chelsea is one of the most, like, in types of archetypes of players, one of the most mismatched types of players I've seen in a very long time in China. Belasquad, it's just weird all around. And it shows on the pitch all the time. Like, Potter is trying to find different ways to make it work because he didn't get a summer window. He didn't get a preseason. So he just come in trying to see what works. And then Bully come January and decided, hey, you know what? I just gotta buy anything that breed. And he just trying to fit things together to see what stick. No, he finds something so far, like last 3 games, something actually started to build. Because I find Potter very unlucky. If he gets sacked, he would deserve it, but he wouldn't deserve it at the same time. Because it's just a very weird situation, but you're playing in a game, you're playing in a sport that results matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, but to your point, I genuinely feel like Declan should go Liverpool if that's the case.
I was using Declan as an example, because one, I just was choosing an arbitrary name too. For those who know Dog Declan, only know it had one place to go. Right, Dog, but Dog had to come to the end. Fine.
Yeah, guys, it was good. CFT, this episode.
Yes,
the kill.
As people on this show know by now, I am a betting man when it comes to football. Not with money, though. I don't have enough for that to do that now. But I will let a bet here, Dog, that come August 31st. 2023, dog. Declan Rice is an Arsenal player, dog.
Bro, I'll be so pissed. You know how I feel about Declan, though.
Well, you know
how, I feel about Declan, though.
Dog, I got
to I'll be so pissed.
That he was world class, dog.
Well, let me get him, dog.
Yeah, well, that's so bro. Yeah, neither.
The transfer window doesn't make any sense, you know. They strive of not making sense. You're going to see Declan Rice sign for Chelsea for some crazy fee.
I feel like Declan to Chelsea for 150.
No,
you know why it is?
No, well, Chelsea, no.
Why it is like, yeah. How it is players, it's like, see teams in this area, right? And look, men can take this as rabs. I honestly don't care. But like, you will watch teams like Barca and Chelsea and be in this area. And you know, I get it, right? It is a job at the end of the day. You want to make your money. You want to secure that bag, right? You know? But you don't think like being in a team that like well run at a high level also is success now, boy. And like, you will make money still. And you'll do that and you'll, you know, be happy and win games, you know? Like, no, teams are sea teams that is be sinking ships and is just joined. And I just be there like, why are you doing yourself this? Like, take Rafinha, right? Dog? And I'm working off him right now. I know he scored this weekend. He scored last weekend. And he gave the play right to him. This is Dembele engine, right? But brother, man, first of all, this is not the pass of like 10 years ago when they was paying referees to win league titles, right? Secondly, dog, have somebody in your preferred position, dog. Why are you putting yourself through all that to play out of position, dog? Thirdly, you need to fire your agent. That's terrible advice, though.
Correct.
I feel like it just comes out to men sentiments, you know. Like, men grow up with certain teams, right? So, like, you feel like you have some kind of loyalty to a team that have no loyalty to you. Because, like, Declan. I could see Declan going to Chelsea. Declan was a part of the Inter Academy. So, I could see him in the back of his head be like, you know, I have something to prove. I need to go back to Chelsea and show, like, you know, that kind of storyline movie thing. I could see them kind of thing happening.
Listen.
So I could understand why a player like that will go back.
But, brother,
but it don't make sense.
He and Jack Wilshere's best friends. And that would be the greatest contribution of Jack Wilshere's entire Arsenal career. Long as if he chained up that one to come to the end five.
But that's the funny thing. That's not true. Because him and Mason Mount is literally best friends.
You can argue on same and Gulish's best friend and was with each other. Or them was with each other.
All right.
Back before England days. Back before even switched to England.
Yeah. No United brethren. So I doubt
you. Again, Jude. You want Declan too?
I mean, real love. I don't take Jude with the money. You know? I know that real controversial these days, boy.
That's a hot take, dog.
It is. But, like, that man...
You say with the money. What do you mean? I personally still care about money a long time ago.
Right. And I know we talked about this the other day, right? And that's fair, right? If it's down to forget the price and it is success or fail, then I think Jude still need developing in ways that people are just ignore because he thinks he does good. He does it really nice. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So like you see Jude final third play dog, I think it's brilliant though. The man is great. And on top of that, he's very athletic and he's sort of very hard working now, boy, right? But in terms of like Liverpool want him coming to be a centre mid, right? When you watch all the work that Liverpool has to do as a centre mid, forget Liverpool then. If you watch all the work City have to do as central midfielders as eight stuff, the defensive work, the playing in pockets, the receiving on the turns. And these stuff that people let's say, like, you're being too extreme, you're being too nitty-gritty, dog, you're paying huge amounts of money for these players, dog. I expect to be able to get some sort of this in return now, boy. You know? And those are parts of this game that I still think are yet to be developed. And I think they would never be developed in Dortmund. Because in Dortmund, they're using basically as a 10, dog, at points he's used as a left winger and stuff. And in the England, the TFC Linguids, outside the fact that they don't play with 10s, the game is very different. The game is very rigorous. And I think that those are faults. That if he does go the wrong team and he gets exposed early, he can get robbed real bad. Like, real bad. You know? That is my opinion. Do I think he's hugely talented? 1,010%. But the thing is, when I watch men like Pedri, and men like Musiala, I think they are way more ahead in their curves than Jude Bellingham. And while I know them men probably untouchable, and you can't pay no kind of price to get them men away from Barca and Bayern, I think them men way ahead. And I think that maybe it's because he's English, though, Jude does get way more hype. And I still think that his game's somewhat unpolished still in a lot of ways.
To that point, I think he also misprofiled by a lot of people. Like, kind of teams people will be putting him on in the hypothetical genre. Most of the teams that need a midfielder who could advance both of them.
Correct.
Jude is not that type of midfielder. Right. I don't know if people need to watch how Dortmund play, watch how Jude play. That is not the type of midfielder Jude is. Jude is not the type to come collect the ball from deep, play it forward, and hand it to. Jude wants to collect it in the final third and do his magic.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of teams that linked with Jude right now need him in that way. They don't need him in that way. They need a player that will advance the ball. To me, the only team it really makes sense, only good team that it really makes sense for Jude to go, sadly, is City, because Pep's system will get the ball forward. That's not going to be the problem. Just he needs to do what he had to do when the ball get there. But all other teams, so like a Liverpool, a United, I don't see him in these kind of teams because that's not the kind of midfielder they need right now.
And in a city team, he could be a little shelter, a little protected and stuff on the field, but because in our Pep system, all those four something you could kind of mask those things. But the only issue is the price that come with that. From that big investment behind him, and then if you have other positions, and then if there are players that are leave, some men might leave for free, and some men might leave for small money. But yeah, but honestly, I really get to that point too where I say, honestly, money, I ain't worried about that no more.
Well, obviously, you don't worry about money, dog. Look at
what
you're
doing.
Dog, you're crying to the wall here, dog. I don't care. I don't want to hear this. I don't care. Right?
We need a war chest to go to Napoli and get a man, boy. Napoli's tried their best to exploit us, you know.
Dog, if City, forget Jude, if City get Cavastelia, dog. Yeah, I could not next to Jude.
Why would they even put out the atmosphere? I've seen something like that.
We're linked with Amon, and I don't even know what, like, people who linking us with him clearly don't know how this going. I just spent the 10 minutes. I just like seeing it.
Back to the Prem. What results we're talking about left? Richarlison can't score a goal to save his life, and apparently when he does, they got always choke it off. He is 1,010% the flop for the season, dog. Like, you literally can't touch that, dog. The next thing is, I would like to say Harry Kane is a menace, because here's why, right? Harry Kane is the boss. You're going to leave in the summer because you know you're too good for them, dog. And your record's intact, right, dog? Only if you leave the one next prep club, you're going to hit your record. And you will. Fair enough, right? But one goal not going to change nothing. Richarlison begging for a goal in the whole Premier League career with Tottenham, dog. And he win the pen. You cannot let anybody up and take the pen.
No, I disagree.
You're wicked.
I disagree.
I'm going to deal with you.
Bro, I don't know if I see the reaction of Conte when Richarlison scored. Man had no reaction. He was watching the ground, kicking the ground in it. Like, he generally didn't care. He probably fist pump when he get called off for granted.
We can talk about it when we watch Champions League in that sense. But yeah, that was talking. I mean, if anybody had on the same order, we literally just gone breeze past us real fast. Nice. Best. Next is Man City win 1-0 at a bogey ground where they cheated. Not really. It was a pen. I was just joking. It is actually a pen. But they're still not good. They don't have a dog in them. They have no stomach. They are no longer them. They feel like this is the era of David Silva and Fernandinho and company with leaders, where all these boys just be a bunch of words I can't say on this podcast because we are family friendly. And yeah, boy. Virgil.
Yo.
You're a lucky Olise sell Gonza, dog. You're very lucky.
You had to play one front of you, know. And you had to take all chances that you get, you know. Because honestly, the way how things was going before that, we know how other movies play out. We know honestly how that play out. And the way how Zaha was looking, that was going to be a quick counter-attack. That was going to be an easy Palace 1-0. But honestly, you know, good old refereeing, you know, good old unbiased refereeing came to the rescue. Mm-hmm. Balance out the game. Mm-hmm. Haaland ended up netting that. Yeah, 28 goals for the season, which is still crazy. 28 goals in 26 games in the Prem.
Yeah, well, you could hire a goal and boot in a paddle. I could just take the goal.
It's a marathon, sir. No? Once we keep playing before Arsenal, I good. Anytime we play after Arsenal, them players will get shit.
Yes,
for some reason.
For some reason. No, it was the funny thing. This weekend coming up here is FA Cup weekend before we go off to the international break, and we playing. I know we're not playing now, but so God's greatest mercy and grace, so we gonna be 8 points clear headed into the international break, though. I be real. I didn't watch the game because I don't give my ups no attention now, boy. Or I can stay right there. Anybody else watch the City game? Anything they want to say? Odd.
I'm being very honest with you. City games these days,
boring.
No, they're not good. It's true. It'd be very concerned when you're seeing, you know, you have a player like Haaland on top, and the game's kind of difficult to get through, honestly.
So here's the thing with Haaland, right? And I think Salik said this on our pod before. So again, I am quoting him. This is the man thing, and I think that was with Aidan. We did this one. Where he said, all the time, we know to put nails in with a hammer, right? That is how we know it all the time. Pep introduced the nail gun and has become the best at using the nail gun. Haaland now comes along, and he's the greatest hammer that was ever created. And City Footballing Group buy it for Pep. Then now you're telling a man who know how to effectively use a nail gun to use a hammer, though. And that is where the kind of clashes is coming.
Yeah.
And like,
that is exactly it.
And like, when you watch how they play, I don't think that he is doing anything wrong in it. I was telling our brethren this week. I don't think that Haaland has necessarily done anything wrong for this whole season in it. You know, he has done his part. He has played his game. I don't know how they actually measure this, but the Athletic put out that graphic this week where there was like percentage of runs. I'm going to see if I can find it real fast. Percentage of runs that was ignored by teammates, and Haaland had something ridiculous like 68% was ignored. Haaland is not fouled as frequently as other strikers in the Premier League, and Haaland has only been fouled 31.6% of the time. But this comes back to what I was saying about what Brandon was saying, right? The system is built for a nail gun, not a hammer, you see. So they're not looking for these direct runs, for these penetrative runs. They're looking for somebody to link and move and progress as a team. And then now, while he is doing his thing, everybody else is waiting for somebody else to do something else. And that is where the lack of communication is coming. And to transition across to us now, I see it with us where we play with our striker that plays, I don't want to say false nine, because I don't necessarily think it's like that, but just a nine that drops deep, links play, and plays more for the team than for him to goal hang. And like, I've seen both sides of it, because I think Eddie's more of a goal hanging striker. Whereas today we play with Trossard, and he literally got 3 assists, 6 goals and assists he signed for us, so to add to the bar of goals he had even before that, though. Great season he might have, it, right? But I see the benefit that the entire team is having, where we don't have a Haaland, we don't have a Rashford, we don't have somebody who had hit 20 goals for the season. At least I don't think so. Martel, you're on 12 right now with 11 to go. I mean, it is possible. I can see it. But I doubt it, right? That's just not how we just play. We just really share on the goals. But I think as a team, we benefit a lot more. I think it is reflected in the league position that we are in now then. You know? And compared to when we had Eddie, we was going through a rough patch when he wasn't being overly clinical. You know, he don't have that highlight clinicalness. But against Everton, he get two chances, didn't score them. Against City, he get three chances, did not score them. What was the other game we dropped points in, boy? Brentford, he get chances, did not score them. And when you're not dropping and linking and helping create for others, dog, when you get in one chance, you had to score it, you know. And so now, like, looking forward, dog, I tell Nikhil today, I think it about some very egregious, egregious that he would have looked for it. I see, it was conflicting men.
Controversial.
The cell in forward, dog. Because, like, I watched the mobility team, I'm going forward, and what else we can improve on, I think. No, I mean, really, up to me, I sell anything somewhere, though. And I probably won't say this ago, right? But, like, I watch how we play. And we play with that style of a nine. And I think that even though Eddie has done really well for himself, and I do like Eddie, and I think that Eddie can't go to, like, a Europa League club or probably even another club that hopeful and just play a different style of football, and he would suit them. But I watch how we play with Trossard as a nine, and he is just as a nine. And I have no problem going the next couple of years with them two as my nine option. We sell Eddie in the summer, dog, get what we get for he. And I personally, if I, we could bring Henry Jr. home. But even without thinking that ridiculous, just get wingers that are more, I like to what we have now, so we could do a little bit more plug and play and stuff like that.
Today was who's Henry Jr.?
I think of a name. I hope it's not this man you're talking about. You know.
It's a man who club guy. Who's Henry Jr.? In the UCL this week now, boy. You know? This way, number 7 for PSG, and if all you're familiar with him now.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks.
Says the man who, for the last one, knows how long has dedicated his timeline to seeing Qatar times Rashford.
So, you're not speaking about me right now, you're speaking about you.
Oh, so
deflecting the conversation. Deflecting the conversation.
But did I agree just for you to say? Okay, no problem.
No, because I could do that. Let me be delusional. That's all I have right now. You go to the league. Let me have this.
Today was easy, dog. The football was great, dog. Saliba. Thus, the passing was immense. I wish Shaka had just scored that chance he had because, like, man can't remember the fact that he missed that one. But his game was sensational, bro. This is like, dog, man pull out all the great passes today, dog, on show, dog. It was beautiful. It was brilliant. It was really easy. I just wish we was a team that liked to run the score. Like, I have found we have had managers and continue to have managers that, like, once they know we win, it's all about just controlling the rest of the game. We don't like to embarrass men. And that is he's so vexed, dog. Like, dog, go get your 5, 6, 7 nils. Why does we just go 3-0 up on this back, dog? All the time, dog, we just do. But yeah, why? That is really it.
Nah, but yeah, go back to what we saying there, like with City, because from just from the Arsenal game too, and I saw from I think it was the third goal where you're seeing how you know Xhaka had some involvement in bringing the ball forward. It's just honestly from looking at Arsenal, you're seeing that the midfield, you're seeing everybody in that team contributing towards the attack. Even from there, you're seeing the goal share around in the front four. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like just being in that position like that, that's something that's very envious, honestly. Because, I mean, yeah, you have a player like Haaland on top. But sometimes, everything that Pep does is, he have something that just makes sense. And he just straying further and further away from what just makes sense. The man just saying he's going to try everything else but that. You see in the introduction of a two back four with all four centre backs. Honestly, from that Palace game, if you had actual left back, actual full backs in that team, we was gonna be 1-0 up early. Because it doesn't make sense having all the space on the left. When Grealish can make all these run to clear spaces and then slip the ball into Aki, who want to stand up there and just think for like 5 seconds about what makes sense to do. Yeah, and then he'll
play. Especially against a Palace side that the attack's so weak. Four center backs is a weird thing to play. But I mean,
Yeah, you basically know this Palace side struggling to score goals. So you know for a fact for your attack is all on you. That is all you have to worry about. It's making sure you get the early lead. They're going to have to come out now and get. And that way you can round the score because they're going to create more space in behind. And all they're doing is just getting out to the false left and right back, and all I'm doing is playing the hardest back pass in the world. And it's like that. Like, if we just keep recycling play like that, it don't even make sense having a target man on top. But when you look at Arsenal playing now, it has so much time seeing Trossard get the ball, seeing Martinelli involved, then you see Saka getting a return, but you're seeing Saka out there contributing towards the play. It's like that what you see, and then look, you're seeing players like Odegaard popping up and getting a little chance, getting a little goals as well.
I now sell Gabriel on my FPL team,
though.
Yeah, man, it's a
stick. Bro, to that point, right?
I bought transfer, yeah, boy.
Bro, to that point, right?
I gave a wild card now, so I was like, get that man out. I wanted 3 Arsenal attackers. Man, come and get a 13 point or something.
I bring him out earlier, and I kept Saka because I was trying to drop out of the either way with my wild card, right? And I didn't bring it out to the Arsenal player because I heard rumors that this was coming back soon. And I know the Saka he backs. I got what he man on my side.
I have him. So, I put him on my bench today.
Yeah. So
hey, the man of the wrong Gabriel, boy.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Dekelius, gotta say something. After this, guys, we would
interpret. Yeah, bro. To Virgil earlier point, right? I was studying the other day. If Pep brought Haaland, right? He's a certain archetype of striker. Right? When he first came into City, he had big problems with Aguero, and he was telling Aguero, hey, if you don't play this type of football, problems are going to sell you. You're not going to be in the team. So, my thing is, what prompts you to change that whole philosophy of having a type of striker that's placed in type of way when that has been working all the time to go and get a striker that's totally different and not try to find out, not saying he doesn't try, but it's clearly a little bit difficult for him right now to alter the team and how they play for the kind of striker that you have right now. Because, I mean, Haaland is totally different to how he wanted Aguero to start a play because you could argue they were playing the same kind of way before in the sense of goal hanging strikers in and around the box, balls in behind, they will bury that. But they want your striker to be more involved. You had a problem with Aguero for that. Why would you have a problem with Haaland for the same thing now?
Yeah, because like, I mean, bring back a problem they had to get rid of.
Yeah, and no far the decision to bring Haaland in was something way beyond Pep as well. They just want to secure this big name. But I mean, even from before, looking at how fluid our game was when we had the brief false nine spell. I remember having conversations about, you know, this Haaland saga might drag on too long. If we don't get Haaland, best we push for somebody. I was even talking about Solomon back when he was at Shakhtar Donetsk. I was like bringing these players that could actually, you know, contribute to the goals. Could actually, you know, the force nine that you know Pep used to like to play from since Barca days. Mm-hmm. But bringing in Haaland now, you're seeing Haaland trying his best to tweak his game to try, you know, be involved in the play, dropping deep. Even seeing these are chances Haaland collect the ball out wide, putting in a cross that they would have hoped somebody would have run on to get to.
But then the thing is,
you're seeing him trying his best to get to fit into that system.
But the thing is, it's like, let me say they didn't get Haaland, right? Like, who do you get? Because, like, in terms of elite forwards in the world, right? Elite strikers, right? Most of the good ones, like, and I include the up and coming ones, like Vla and Osimhen and stuff, they are pure nines. These men are the ones that are willing to drop deep and connect. Which is why I have told Dekil on multiple times that I take United just like Kolo Muani, you know. Like, I think that he actually might be one of the few that has the good balance between being a striker and wanting goals and still being able to link play. and to create for others and stuff like that. And his numbers in the Bundesliga does actually.
Harry Kane, man.
Oh, yes. Or,
Harry,
yeah,
Kane.
Harry Kane. That's, yeah, my point. Well, yeah, Harry Kane's a perfect example.
So then I guess you could argue then that City might be better off if they get Harry Kane instead of Haaland, then maybe.
But to be fair, that's who they wanted. When I remember the timeline, that's who they wanted.
Yeah.
They wanted the 100 million bid.
Yeah, but they
reject the 100 million.
This is just a prime example of Harry Kane being Tottenham true and true, though, because the man bottled a transfer, though. Right? If he really wanted it, you go on strike, you get vexed, you don't show up, you take your fines.
He trying to balance it. Remember this one, he had a new request in this window one here. But
man had all kind of interview with Gary Neville, so you wanna bust out with that.
All right. Okay. All right, so we're gonna pause it here.
Yeah.
And we'll take a break. And we will be back in part two with more Champions League related stuff. So yeah, don't go nowhere. We'll be back soon. Hey guys, and we are back. So as you guys know, we do Who Am I here, and I have been introducing some other stuff. I think last week the start bench sell had actually gone pretty good. I might think of one off the cuff to give these men, and we'll see how that goes. But it's Who Am I, and it's all around this week. Champions League round of 16 specific comebacks and almost comebacks. So whether the team was losing in the first leg, came back in the second leg, because there are some teams this week that have some miracles to do if they want to go through. So, that being said, guys, you guys know how this goes already. You have two yes or no questions, and you have two guesses. Please use them wisely. I have six players here, and if there's a tie at the end, we'll have a tiebreaker. Yeah, there's six players, and the extra one will be a tie. So, yeah. Who am I? I have scored one of the most iconic goals in World Cup history. I have won the Golden Boot in my respective league, or in one of my former leagues, back to back. I have played alongside Yossi Benayoun, Tim Krul, and Danny Welbeck. Who am I? Two questions, guys. Two yes or no. Well, two yes or no questions. Sorry, two guesses. I'll say it again. I have scored one of the most iconic goals in World Cup history. I have won back-to-back Golden Boots in one of my former leagues. I have played alongside Yossi Benayoun, Tim Krul, and Danny Welbeck. I'll give all of the extra thing of the fact that he's retired right now. So,
yes or no questions. The league where he scored, he was top scorer twice in a row. Is it La Liga?
No, it's not La Liga.
Did he play with Tim Krul at club level?
No.
Okay.
Is Klaus Jan Huntelaar?
Nah, it's not Huntelaar. I can see why you say that.
Is it? No, what? I mean,
remember, it's comebacks and almost comebacks, guys. Just keep that in mind.
Is it? Is it Van Persie?
It is Van Persie. Well done, Virgil.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Then you play for Arsenal, dog. I studied Chelsea and Liverpool, and I said, dog, who else better you play for? Because that to me, that was the two. I'm like, dog, who else better you play for? I rip in my school.
I like to tell you, I purposely choose better you because I know we would have shut it off a little bit. So, yes, this he scored in the 3-0 win in the second leg against AC Milan, but unfortunately, that was not enough. And
yeah, boy.
And then he messed up the chip That was supposed to be so easy to score. That would have leveled up the score.
Yeah.
I remember that game, yes?
Yeah, but
I'm not angry. It has done happen. Next player. So, that's 1.2 Virgil. Well done, Uzi. Next player. I have scored the goal to complete the greatest comeback, this great comeback in question. I am one of the longest serving members at my current club. And I have played only 11 times at international level and have one international goal. Who am I?
The greatest comeback that was.
I feel like I shouldn't have said
actually, it. Actually, never mind.
But.
Never mind.
You go ahead with your thought process.
Never mind.
He's the longest even member of his current club.
Yeah, he's one of the longest. I believe he's actually the second longest. I think there's only one player there longer than him.
He doesn't have to be playing, he could just be on the team.
And he scored the goal to complete the comeback. And he's only played 11 times at the international level.
Is he Spanish?
Yes, he is Spanish.
International level.
So he wasn't rated that much. If he only
appearances.
Is it Inaki?
Nah, it's not Inaki.
Is he Spanish?
He was, and he recently
switched
to Ghana. Yeah, his brother actually played in the World Cup though. Nico.
Right. Yes. Young William.
Yeah, bad though. I would like to sign it.
Damn. Is he playing an attacker?
No, he's not an attacker.
But you only play 11 times in this country. That's what messes him up right now.
Yeah.
When all they realize who the player is, all they would understand is why I can go down the route of giving all their ex teammates.
Did he play for Liverpool?
No.
Alright.
He is actively one of the longest serving members, eh?
One of.
Yeah, I think he's the second longest.
Is it is Sergio Roberto?
Is it him?
It is Sergio Roberto. Well done, Virgil.
The PSG game?
Yes, it is the PSG game. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out who scored the last goal. I don't know why was my thing. I think, you know, somebody.
So, given that it's Sergio Roberto, they understand why it's a good to do ex-teammates.
Yeah. And we'll play as
Barcelona. Yeah. He only played for Barcelona. Virgil is 2-0 up right now. Next.
Easy.
I like this game.
I have been included in the FIFA World 11 once. I have represented two top English clubs in my career as a forward, but I've only scored one league goal. I've won the Europa League twice. Who am I?
Well, that's not like Falcao.
Did I guess?
Yeah.
It is Falcao.
Hey, boy. Yeah, my mind was never going there, you know.
Chelsea and United, yeah, boy. Chelsea.
So, I actually have a question for all the United fans, right? So, according to Wikipedia, which is probably not the best source of information, he scored 4 goals for United, but I know he had none in the league. So, where did 4 come from? Only remember that one scoring?
I remember the goals. It was against Everton.
It was in the league?
I think. I believe so.
My bad.
I believe it was at Everton.
My bad.
If I'm not mistaken, that same game, they here got a penalty. And
save later, Benz beats penalty.
Yeah, I think that was the game.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I want to score a chip or something in some game. Yeah, I scored one good goal and the rest was like, I think, scrappy goal.
Okay, the kill is on the board now, so now it's 2-1.
Boom, boom.
Next. I have played alongside Miranda, Juan Mata, and Frank Lampard. I have won the golden boot at an international tournament, and I have won the same league back-to-back years with two different teams. Before we continue, though, guys, so Sergio Roberto, it kind of obvious which comeback we talked about. That was the PSG one. And with Falcao, it was at Man City's dismay when he was part of the Monaco side that came back from being 3-1 down against Man City first, like, to win it 5-2 or so, should put it, so the next leg and after that, dog. Crazy stuff. So, yeah, I'll say it again. I played alongside Frank Lampard, Miranda, and Juan Mata. I've won the Golden Boot at an international tournament. And I have won the same league back-to-back years with two different teams. Who am I?
I am to Fernando Torres.
You are incorrect.
Look into
it. I respect the confidence.
He won the same league back.
Away, ask yourself teams. Though, Nikhil, what league he that went back to back years with two different teams though?
Bro, I didn't. You know, first I wasn't even studying Liverpool in the league until just the other day. I was just like, yeah, I win.
And he was golden boot in
an international tournament. Yes.
Where you have played Miranda, boy? Is it Tevez?
Nah, it's not Tevez.
Yeah, where you have played Matthew?
Nah, Tevez is in nobody back like
it. Is the league and Prem?
It's not the Prem.
Not the Prem.
Is it Syria?
It is not Syria. So you have one more question, I believe. No, I don't think Aiden asked a question. Aiden, you asked a question.
Let's guess.
Yes,
I had
you still have two questions.
What is it? Is it La Liga?
It is La Liga.
Okay, wait. You say Miranda Mata, who?
Frank Lampard.
Okay. Is it Diego Costa?
It is not Diego Costa, and you are actually out now.
Sorry.
Is it? Ooh, nothing. Is Eto?
Is it who?
Eto?
Is not Eto. That is
in La Liga twice.
That is two.
I have one.
Two guesses by you, Virgil.
Nah, I won.
I won. Okay, but you're still gonna.
La Liga. Two different teams. Back to back, boy. Is it Morata?
It's not Morata.
Ah, well, I out.
You out. Virgil.
Lampard, Mata.
That's a random man, dog. And Miranda.
And Miranda. And La Liga. Wait.
Yep. For the win.
Virgil, I have one more yes.
Is David Villa?
It is David Villa. Well done, Virgil.
Yeah, exactly.
Come
yeah,
on, bro. What do you mean? I know.
What you talking about? You talking about that MLS with Lampard?
Yeah.
Bro. I realized it after. And I was like, I hate my son.
He was part of the Barca side that came back from 2-0 to AC Milan in the first leg to come back and win 4-2.
I hate that game, boy.
That goal,
definitely bad, man.
So Virgil did win, but we still gonna finish it out. I have two more here. I have played in 3 countries and won the league 6 times in my career. I was considered the worst transfer of the summer at one point of my moves, and I've played alongside Yunus Kabul, Eduardo Silva, and Mario Mandzukic. Who am I?
What's his name, man?
Kabul. This player could never have been playing for Portsmouth, so can we?
Consider the worst chance.
Yeah.
Is Modric?
It is Luka Modric.
What? He played for the Oras Tottenham. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he played for Spurs in the earlys.
Yeah, he did. But so he won. He has 3 league titles with Real Madrid, and he has 3 league titles with Dynamo Zagreb. So that is where the other three gone from. Could never be Spurs.
Nice, yeah. Nice. Well done, dog.
And he played with Eduardo Silva. I don't know if I remember who that is, though, but that's the guy who
used to want to break his leg, right?
Yeah. Yep. And they played together at Dynamo, dog. And I don't want to include a real player because I feel like, well, apparently it was not easy, but I thought it was even easier, dog. And the comeback in question was actually last year where they were, while it was only 1-0 long after the first leg, they were 2-0 long at halftime. So,
yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
The following leg. The last player in question, so just a reminder again, this is almost comebacks. So, yeah. I have won 3 domestic titles while playing in England. Well, let me say honors then, because I don't really think it's only league titles. I've lost a Euros final, and I've played alongside Kevin Gamero, Adil Rami, and Wojciech Szczęsny.
Kevin Gamero, Rami, and Szczęsny?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have 1-3 honors.
I know the team it's from, and I'm just trying to remember the players on the team so I can match it. I sure know the team.
Repeat the man accolades.
He's won 3 club honors in England. And he lost a Euro final.
When you play with Rami, Szczęsny.
This
currently playing?
I don't think so. I think like okay, well, I mean, yeah, just retired.
This is in the last 2 Euros.
Yes.
Dog, I know the team. I try to remember all the players for the team, dog.
He played with Szczęsny at club level.
Yes. And if it gives Ole any kind of hints, he's one of Ole's favorite hosts, favorite players of all time. I feel like that's wrong. They kill you.
No, you mess up my flow.
Szczęsny, Rami, and
I'm almost sure I have the I team that could put them up from.
Wait.
It's actually Ty.
Yeah, draw. That's why I didn't want to say anything.
Wait. Is he play you're talking about? Is he play Mr. Golivier Giroud?
You clearly don't know me though, because no, it's not him.
How you know?
No. Not this one. Nahi.
Play with Szczęsny, Gamero, boy. Kevin Gamero.
That the one I chose, right?
I trying to remember.
Yeah, I was saying though that if all you know me, I didn't really accept my Szczęsny and thing. And it's because I hear my Zwitter's number.
Is he number?
No.
Oh my goodness. I feel like I'm going to be very upset.
It's not Paul Pogba?
Nah. But okay. As a minor hint,
well, my guess is
number.
Huh? Okay. Now, my guess is done. So, there's a title decider here between the killer and Uzi. That's an important piece of information. Yeah. Right now, get it.
I want to throw Virgil in the fence, you know, because I know Virgil how many years we play on the same Fed match team for how many years, dog.
I said Pogba, but he says not Pogba, but the right number.
Okay. It seems like the mirror, that green mirror threw him off. Okay, but he...
Adel Rami,
Gamero, and Kevin Gamero.
Did he play with Gamero at PSG?
No.
I forget Gamero played with
PSG.
All right, guys. Well, let's start a hurry up. Eh? We have a lot of episodes for people to get through.
Yeah.
He included the real PSG.
Number 6.
I just got a call to people, even though they're going to be incorrect. Steven Nzonzi.
I'm choking it, bro.
Dog, I feel like all the real overtaking this, eh? And he says, I like, dog. Okay, what's my favorite side? Who might have won 6 for that side? Oh, jeez, go down that line, I'm thinking.
Is it Matuidi?
No. Although he is actually one of my favorite players. Love Blaze, though. Real underrated player.
Abu Dhabi. Nah, it can't be a Abu Dhabi, dog.
Hey, two guesses for me there.
I think we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
What a hint I can give, boy. He's part of the Arsenal team that lost the Europa League final against Chelsea.
Sanya?
Nah, it's not Sanya.
He bustled.
Gil Kishi? No.
Nah.
Them
still have players in that team right now that play in that final.
He's not by us anymore, though. He left the summer after because he and Emery had a real fallout, actually.
Emery?
Because he thought he had injury problems, and Emery. He and Emery had the agreement that he would have played.
Is it Guendouzi?
Guendouzi?
No,
I didn't say that. He said that.
I think all of their guesses done anyhow.
No, only done lost. All only done lost. So Virgil technically win. This is just to see if I can help Ole get. So Aidan could guess that thing too. Let me see. He left because he and Emery had followed because he wanted to play less because he had injuries. And then for his unveiling video for the team that he went to next, he pulled off an Arsenal top to reveal a Bordeaux jersey, which is where he played with Kevin Gamero.
Nasri. Nasri had leave by then.
Yeah.
Koscielny went Barca after then. No, he didn't go Barca, no. Sorry. That's with Vermaelen, sorry. Shit, I dog. Who the ass
is it?
No, just say it, you know, just say it. Talk it. Girl, past us
Oh gosh, what is my name, boy? What is my name?
Not Koscielny. I said Vermaelen.
Yes, it's Koscielny. We take it around. Okay, it is Koscielny.
Koscielny?
Koscielny. Oh my god. Are like, Koscielny is one of your favorite players, huh?
Yeah, but I really love Koscielny, you know? I had Gerrard heavy into supporting Arsenal was when he has start that partnership with Mertesacker, and he had really ironed out like error proneness, and he had become really, really good for us like the next 6 years. And he wore number 6, and because I hear him wearing number 6, I started wearing number 6 in real life. I just keep wearing number six since.
I didn't even remember that man's name though.
So
a man named that didn't even come in my head.
Well, do better. That's all I can tell you. Okay, so because we are running an infinitesimal time at this point, we're gonna just run through the UCL really quickly, guys. So last week Tottenham gonna call to Milan. And I just would like to say I am not encouraging anybody talking at this point because I really just want to talk about this week's results. All I'm going to say is that Antonio Conte, known as a serial winner, is a fraud take. It is not true. That man has won UCL knockout win in his entire life, and he has lived so long that he's done a hair transplant once already in his life, though. So he ain't that good. He inherited a Mourinho team and added N'Golo Kante, which is an all-time great to win a Premier League. He went to Inter side that added a Romelu Lukaku to a league that was already known to inflate strikers' numbers. And, yeah, boy. And he was at a Juve side that was known for bubble. So, yeah, you can take that serial winner thing and stick it with the sun, don't shine. Barca.
A terrible game.
Not Barca. Bayern beat PSG 2-0. It was 2? I can also say it was 3.
Yeah, 2-0. Nah, triple 3 on aggregate.
Gnabry didn't squat, dude.
Well, that's true. That's true. How do you get there?
Two more things, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like...
Gnabry scored the third and he tied, but second and the ninth.
Okay. But anyways, we always cook it. Don't bring up my boy Gnabry. PSG, terrible club. They have no soul. And all they can come in on this one.
No UCL either.
That was terrible. But look, I've said a big part of so why PSG are not anywhere near as to where they would like to be. They said the club has no soul. It has no passion. It has no care. Nobody cares about that club. They recruit players that are good to add to a team that already has a culture in it. They have tried to bypass the whole part of building a culture and building a liking and a love for the club. And they just go nowhere. Their best academy products are players around Europe now. And they won't even try to sign them back or try to have kept them at the time. You know? And Nkunku going to Chelsea, dog. And he's a PSG born and bred player. Why does he went there uncontested, dog? That is shippiness. Yeah, B dog is ripping up the Bundesliga and has been doing so far a while with Leverkusen. He's cooking under Xabi Alonso right now. Why are you not trying to sign him? You have these players in this club that don't care. Whereas, dog, for what is with City, dog? They did their thing piece by piece, dog. And eventually built a winning culture there, dog. But then they still care when I use it, so who really cares? Yeah, anybody want to say anything about PSG?
I have a theory. Remember, Qatar by PSG primarily to advertise themselves to the World Cup. I think they're going to stop caring about PSG now that the World Cup is done. In the sense of, you see all the flashy names and stuff, like they never cared about actually getting to the Champions League. Yes, they were buying players that should have been able to get over the hump and win one, but I don't believe they genuinely cared about winning the Champions League. I feel like they wanted to advertise themselves for the World Cup. Now that the World Cup is done, I genuinely could see the higher-ups stop caring about PSG. So all the fancy names and stuff like that that used to come is going to dwindle down. It's going to go to a lower tier. And we're going to keep on doing that until PSG become a regular league team again. That's how I see it.
No, because when you're looking at this PSG side too, and you're looking at from this game, yeah, obviously when you have the likes of Mbappe, Messi, and Neymar, you feel like the world is yours. But you look and see Neymar out for the season, and it just wasn't working for both Mbappe and Messi on top. So when stuff like that not working, then you turn to your other resources. And When you had to bring on the likes of Juan Bernat and all kind of youth men that basically might get shipped out to some other mid-table French teams, I mean, or kind of some etiquette, all them men that come in there, them men are going to see national team. Them men going to be shipped out to some teams in France on loan. Honestly, because even after a while, if if Madrid come knocking and take Mbappe away and then Messi time is up and then Neymar get fed up on goal. This PSG side really going to just have a big downfall on us, you know, because other than those big names, and if you're not pushing and being a force in Champions League, who are you gonna attract, honestly? It's so much players you could attract.
No, and the thing is, something that like all the good sides have done that have come from, like, forget what I was gonna say. More or less, like, something all the good sides do is they know how to recruit within the league well. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, PSG just don't do that. I don't know why they refuse to do that. But they just see all the best talent coming out of France and they just let them go elsewhere, though. And you're like, we just watch players like entities, right? Because we are fans and we are allowed to do that. And as well as, despite what anybody, because we do actually have listenership in England, so I don't know how some people might receive this, but like, we are foreign fans, right? So we are even more disconnected from the idea of like players being connected to roots and stuff like that, right? I think that's a very real thing. I think a player would be much more likely from, especially like mid-table clubs, mid to lower table clubs, be more willing to just move higher up in the same country because they have to uproot their life less, you know? They wouldn't have to go to a whole new country, new language, new culture, and whatever. But PSG just let all the good men just dip, dog, all the time. Should never be happening. Like, dog, for example, by no means are we having City as some breeder club. But we signed Zinchenko and Jesus, dog, within the league. When you watch all the years of club recruiting, well, was within the league, dog. Was taking men like Mane and Wijnaldum and Robbo and Jota from within the league, you know? Like, that is what you do. City have taken Calvin Phillips, they've taken John Stones, they've taken Raheem Sterling. Dog, I mean, forget Calvin Phillips, right? He hasn't really hit no grounds yet. Grealish has been really good this season. He's come from within the league. Mahrez has been good within the league. So, yeah. Moving on to this week's ones. And I want to know if you guys are willing to offer any sort of olive branch to Liverpool as they visit the Bernabeu.
Done.
Yeah, you talk about how Anfield could be in our fortress, you know. Bernabeu is right up there. And them players that go in there, they are the hope Madrid do score. And we know that's highly unlikely. So. It's going to be an entertaining game, honestly. It's going to be entertaining to watch. You can see that.
Of Liverpool's hopes, why look, I have no hope for them. But let me be honest with you. If it was any other team in the world besides Real, I would say it's possible just because, as we saw in the United Liverpool game, is that dog, if they really want to, there's opportunities to turn on quality, you know. But it's just Real. It is the empire, dog. They are them. They are more them than anybody will ever be in football, dog. They are football.
And this is their competition, dog.
This is their competition, dog. And like, dog, there was a meme format on Twitter for a while, dog, about he's got that aura. Dog, they are the aura. They are them, dog. You just can't fight it. So
to see them giving up a 3-goal lead to
without reply. So then,
yeah, that's my reply, point. That's my thing.
Talking about what, a 5-2, a 6-3. Yeah.
Liverpool may win the game, you know. Liverpool could possibly win a game. I don't know, but they had to win by 3. The fact that they had to win by 3 goals,
yeah,
I don't think that happened.
And I'd be real, this is Liverpool's fault there. Like, I get you capitulate, dog, but you should know. Mm-hmm. You can't be capitulating that bad in the Champions League where, like, okay, United lost 7-0. Reality is, dog, they lost 7, they lost 10, they lost 1. It's still 3 points. It really don't matter that much on your next game.
This is an aggregate game.
Yeah. Yes, dog.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And field to concede 5 is a madness.
Yeah, and then they're going to concede 5 in April, too, when, you know, Arteta Chicky Red show up. Napoli, I check Frankfurt. We giving the German side any hope, guys, or Napoli to win? Not just this time, but possibly to win it all.
I want Napoli win. I want Napoli go far, dog. If Napoli, if somebody had to win it, let Napoli win it, dog.
Yeah, I would love a Napoli Madrid final at this point. I would love for it to be Napoli, City, Madrid, and some other decent side dog in the
not that one.
I don't know why would you want Real Madrid in a final? No, I don't want that. No.
I need that rematch.
I don't care again. Bro. They can win how much you see as long, it really don't matter.
Bro, if you're being real, Europa League is much better than Champions League this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Man. Yeah.
I agree.
Dog, I like that, yo. I didn't really give it because it's my side that play. But from a neutral point of view, that sports game would have been, was real good in the dog. It had everything. It had everything, though.
Yeah, I just want Roma go all the way. That's all. Until that Europa League.
Hey, I would love dog for it to be Roma United in the semi-finals, dog. For it to be like Mourinho versus United.
No, I don't need that level of bad man.
And then fall it to beat them, and then us all against all in the final. Like I don't want
to. I don't need that final either. I promise you.
I promise you, dog. Hold on, listen to me the kill. If the Europa final was on our Wednesday still, or whatever it is, I sure we can do our watch party and get more men to come out for Arsenal United watch final than whatever the UCL final.
Yeah, because that's actual banter. Nobody came out with Real Madrid. Nobody cares, bro.
Dog, these are
Arsenal, real rivalries.
Real Madrid are unputtable. You can't. You're going to pass on that. Right?
Well,
yeah, you didn't win the league this year. Boo.
You win another Champions League. Like, come on. So boring.
Actually, you know the surprise is that up to now Madrid don't have a treble. That is actually crazy.
Yeah, boy. Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah. So yeah guys, Napoli to go through. Napoli to possibly go all the way. I mean everybody's favorites right now is Napoli, yeah? And I would really hope they could probably keep the side together, but we know how money does go. It just probably won't work that way. I would love for Kvaratskhelia to just stay right there. I don't need him to be going no rival clubs, so he can stay right there. Porto versus Inter. I'll be real though, this is the one game I think has the biggest chance of the score being reversed. I think Porto is a very solid side. They carried it back to Portugal. Inter only had a 1-0 win. And the truth is, Inter's history in the Champions League over these last couple of seasons has been one of the bottle. So, I can see this one having the chance to be flipped over. But it's still obviously in Inter's hands. Any thoughts on it, guys?
Nah, and Inter also coming from a little shaky loss against Spezia. So, they're not really... This Inter side, obviously... It's different the size of on the day and go up against a Porto side that you know known for that rough type of football. Yeah, like and our one nil margin is not too much for Porto to overturn.
Yeah. City versus Leipzig. Any chance of upset or
I mean yeah
if Nkunku was
I say yeah if Nkunku was fit. But he's the only one that's causing problems when he come on, bro. I think he's going to be missing the game, so.
When Timo Werner hits the quickest hat-trick of your life,
Why?
In your head for the rest of your life, you know.
Willie Orban is going to dominate in the air and score in the 74th minute, and they're going to hold out to go through.
Nah, we make sure rest. Champions League, Mahrez, you know.
Mahrez coming back out hot.
He's starting that game.
What an international
accomplishment for Mohamed Salah. Okay, so I think we'll leave it there, guys. Thank you guys so much as always. We do have some really nice stuff coming up, and obviously our Champions League watch party is going to be at the end of the season. So yeah, that is it. Thank you guys for coming on, and catch you guys next time. See you soon. Take it easy. Later.